Let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 19. As you notice, the communion table is out, and so when we get done, we're going to partake of communion together. I thought tonight's message lent itself to that. Also seeing that it's the, you know, Easter celebration, even though, you know, we didn't do it Palm Sunday, but, you know, it's a good time to remember some things. And so John chapter 19 falls at a good time because it is Easter coming up. And so we saw in John chapter 18 where Peter denying Jesus. And then so I want you to look with me at John chapter 19. We're just going to start at verse number 1. And Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put him in a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." And so then later, you know, in verse 19, Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." We also saw in chapter 18, if you remember, it's been a while ago, it seems, for me, it seems like I've lived a lifetime since I was here last on Wednesday night, and I think I literally have. And so, but we were talking about, remember when the soldiers came to get him? And Jesus said what? Let's all say it together. Jesus said what?
I am.
I am. And what happened to the soldiers? They all fell backwards. You know, what was that? Well, you can get very religious and say, well, you know, we don't know, so let's not assume. Well, I'm not religious, so, and I don't think I am assuming. They fell out under the power of God. And so what was the point of that? What was the point of that? No one would ever be able to say they took him. What was the point of basically saying, "I am God and I don't have to go"? And you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself for Sunday, but the Bible talks about in Isaiah that he did not open his mouth. He could have opened his mouth. And angels of all sorts, one angel could have taken out the whole bunch of them. He could have called angels. And they, like Pastor Rhonda said on Sunday morning, they were waiting, willing, and ready. But he had already made his mind up to be the Lamb of God, to be our sacrifice, to be our substitute. And no man would ever be able to say that they took his life because he had to willingly lay it down. But that was done really in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve fell. The Word was ready to become flesh. No man took his life. The devil inspired people to take his life. And then later, I love what the scripture says, that if they, talking about the devil and the demons, would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Because we all wouldn't be sitting in here on a Wednesday night because there was no hope for us. But Jesus decided, and I think it's important to know that as we look at tonight, that everything that Jesus did was decided. Everything was done willingly. And the more you meditate on it, and it is a great season to meditate on the fact that God decided to become a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he became and was the spotless lamb and still is. And he willingly did what we're going to talk about tonight. And so, You know, we look at the fact that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But one of the things that happened here, and it's not the main part I'm going to look at tonight, but when they platted the crown of thorns on his head to make fun of him, when they took an old robe that was maybe Pilate's, because it was royal robe, but it was probably an old robe they put on him. And then they put in Matthew it talks about, or Luke or one of the accounts, I think it's Matthew, it says they put a reed in his hand. And then they went around and spit on him. And they mocked him. And they told him to prophesy who hit you. And they went dead at the cross, you know, if you are the Son of God, why don't you just go ahead and come down? I mean, the mocking. And we look at that, and that's really good. Understand, you know, because if you put yourself in that place, you all just better be glad it wasn't me. And I'm glad it wasn't you. Because it was probably beyond, not probably, it was beyond what a human could endure. Even though he was all God and all man, Jesus is in a class all by himself. And they put a crown to mock him, yet he is the King, eternal, invisible, almighty God. And he knew everyone that slapped him. He knew everyone who spit on him. A thief at one side mocking him. And yet, what Pastor Rhonda said, he said, Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. And all that he went through, and as I think about this, and I'm so grateful. You know, as I went to Nepal, going into a country where Christianity is relatively new, and they're persecuted. And we talked about, you know, how we had to be careful. And I was talking to Pastor Raju, who was one of my interpreters, and helped Tony start the school and has been a part of it. You know, they're so cautious right now because if they get, you know, there's people in jail for sharing their faith, yet they do it because they so understand that Jesus is the only salvation, is the only way for their country to change. And they're passionate. And yet as I was over there in a country that is relatively, you know, everyone has not heard the name of Jesus, especially as Savior. And all that he did, and it just made me realize again just how awesome he really is. Just how amazing when you get thrown. And you don't have to go to Nepal to realize this, or India, or anywhere, you know, in Africa or in Europe. You don't have to go somewhere else to realize it. But I just want you to realize this week, as we go into, as we celebrate the resurrection, there was a high price to pay before the resurrection. There was a high price to pay. And as I think about it, it just makes me, and I hope it makes you, just love him and honor him all the more. So tonight, I want to just concentrate on that first verse. And the Bible says, and Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, whipped him, took him to the whipping post. So Matthew 27:26 says it, then they released Barabbas unto them, and he went and he scourged Jesus, and then he delivered him to be crucified. So first he had to go to the whipping post before he ever went to the cross. And I just wanted to show you that in Mark 15:15. Also Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And then in Luke 23:16, it says, because he was always planning to do this. I love this verbiage, though. I will therefore chastise him and then release him. And then again in John chapter 19, verse 1, it talks about when Jesus was on the whipping post. And so we're going to talk about, and I know some great things happened while we were gone. I did tune in to live stream. Thank God for live stream. And I saw a few of you receive your healing. You know, one of the things that I've done from the beginning here is I've ministered to since the very beginning on it is the will of God for you to be healed. We have a healing school on Tuesday that Reverend Opal Cruz does where we teach you faith and healing. The Lord has always been allowed here in the gifts of the Spirit. So we've had many. The whole reason we have healing school is the Lord spoke to me through Mark Brzee one time, and he prophesied to me. He said, you'll have many instantaneous, but you'll have to teach them how to keep it, even with the gifting that I carry. And we've seen it, you know, here and there. And then, you know, having Annie come in, and it was just fun to watch. I think it was Ramona. I think she was in line, and she had already gotten healed. And Annie said, well, it's terrible to have to wait, you know, and you get healed before you get up to the front. That's just pretty cool. And then I heard some reports. But even when you get it instantaneous through the gifts of the Spirit, you do have to learn to keep it. And what difference does it make how you get it? Well, if you're sick and you get it, then it doesn't make any difference. But you do have to learn how to keep it. Because the enemy that brought it to you the first time will try to bring it back to you another time. And so hopefully here, whatever you received through the anointing, through the laying on of hands, through the gifts of the Spirit, whether you go to healing school, whether you hit here in this room tonight, you receive through partaking of communion. Because we live in the earth and there's sickness and disease all around, you will have to learn how to resist. Trust me, this is what I currently am doing. Hallelujah. In a number of things. And the enemy is not satisfied, or doesn't care what you know on paper, or where what church you go to and what the church believes. It's what you believe. So I just want to take you through this tonight and remind you of the high price that Jesus paid for you and I to physically be well. And I just want to encourage you to fight for it. And I just want to remind you of the huge price Jesus paid so that you will fight for it. I want to read something. This is from one of my favorite authors. You've all heard me talk of him many times. His name is Rick Renner. And this book is called Paid in Full. Shekinah Glory gave it to me. And since they gave it to me, I read this around Easter. The last 4 years since they've given this to me. We carry this in our bookstore. It is the best, most wonderful book concerning the passion of the Christ concerning this season. If you don't have it, I'm sure it'll be gone tonight. Because I'm just telling you, if you don't have this book, you should have this book. And just pull it out. And even when it's not Easter time, read it. But I want to talk to you just a little bit about when Jesus was at the whipping post. He says it this way. Matthew 27:26 tells us that Pilate had scourged Jesus before he delivered him to be crucified. So we need to understand what is meant to be scourged. The word scourged is the Greek word P-H-R-A-G-L-L-O, whatever that means. It was one of the most horrific words used in the ancient world because of the terrible images that immediately came to mind when a person heard it. Let me tell you a little about the process of scourging. I'm not doing this to make you all weak in the knees, but I am doing this to remind you of the high price that your healing cost and that you should fight to keep it, that you should fight to receive it, and you ought to fight to keep it. Let me tell you a little about the process of scourging, what it did to the human body. I believe this explanation is important so you can understand more completely what Jesus endured before he was even taken to be crucified. When a decision was made to scourge an individual, the victim was first stripped completely naked so his entire flesh would be open and uncovered to the beating action of the torturer's whip. The victim was bound to a 2-foot-high scourging post. His hands were tied over his head to a metal ring, and his wrists were securely shackled to that ring to restrain his body from movement. When in this locked position, the victim couldn't wiggle or move, trying to dodge the lashes that were being laid across his back. Romans were professionals at scourging. They took special delight in the fact that they were the best at punishing a victim with this brutal act. Once the victim was harnessed to the post and stretched over it, the Roman soldier would begin to put him through the unimaginable torture. One writer notes that the mere anticipation of the whipping causes the victim's body to grow rigid, the muscles to knot in his stomach, and the color to drain from his cheeks, his lips to draw tight against his teeth, and waited for the first sadistic blow that would begin tearing his body open. The scourge itself was a short wooden handle with several 18 to 24 inch straps of leather protruding from it. The ends of these pieces of leather were equipped with sharp metal, pieces of metal, wire, glass, and jagged fragments from bones. This was considered to be one of the most feared and deadly weapons of the Roman world. It was so ghastly that the mere threat of scourging could calm a crowd or bend the will of the strongest rebel. Even the most hardened criminal recoiled from the prospect of being submitted to the vicious beating of a Roman scourge. It talks about how that usually two men would take turns beating them until the back was so open that what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 52, verse 14 of the New King James says, it says even that Jesus, his visage would be marred more than a man. Isaiah 52, verse 14. It says his visage would be, just as many were astonished at you, so your visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So I'm going to do something, and if you don't want to look at it, don't look at the screens. So this is a picture that people have tried to, this is what it would look like, and this is really one of the more calmer ones, this is one of the more tame ones. This is an image of Jesus being at a whipping post where the Roman soldiers would have beat him. And so you can take it down. I remember, and I say this all the time because it made such a huge impact on my life, when I was sitting watching The Passion of the Christ, when I saw this at the movie theater, I made up my mind, making it up again, that if he did that for me, I was going to fight the good fight of faith to walk in health. And I've had many opportunities. I'll probably have more. And so will you. But that's why I don't lay down and just take it. That's why I fight through it. Amen. If he paid that high of a price, if he was willing to drape over a post and let them take the cat of nine tails with metal and bones and glass and rip him open, then I am and going to preach that it is the will of God to heal everybody. Everybody doesn't receive their healing. And it's good to go to heaven. But it does not change the scripture. It does not change the fact of what Jesus did and what is available. He was scourged. I can't say that word sometimes. He was scourged. He was beaten. He was ripped open. And he was marred. Isaiah prophesied. You know that Jesus read Isaiah? He preached out of it. He knew this was in there. When he said, I am, and he willingly laid down his life, he knew this was coming. And even he was all God, but he was in the form of a man. And he knew that they were about to beat him to a way that he would not even be humanly recognizable. And then crucify him. You gotta admire, love, honor. When you find out how much Jesus really did for you. That's that scripture. You know, the Lord gave you Jesus. What would he withhold from you? And you could also say this, Jesus laid down his life for you. He opened, he gave his back for you. What would he ever withhold from you? He's just that good and that awesome and that wonderful. And I know this is not, this is kind of sobering. But it's not bad to be sober sometimes. It's not bad to really think about the weight of the Word of God, the Almighty. Without him, nothing would have been made. That he, the Creator, the Word of God, who always has been the Son, the rightful, the begotten one of God, would come and take our place and offer himself and not just save us from our sin, but have a plan that we can walk in health. And any time that we're attacked by sickness or disease, give us a rightful, legal way to receive healing that we can walk in health. It's an amazing thing. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 53. If you come to healing school, you should have this memorized. Isaiah 53, it starts out in verse 1, who has believed our report and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And I could get really start, I love to preach out of this as well. But let's look at verse 3. He is out of the King James, and then we're going to look at it in the Young's Literal Translation. Let's start in verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid our, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, the King James says, surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, the Young's Literal Translation says, surely our sicknesses he has borne, and our pains. So I like the Young's Literal. Surely our sickness he has borne and our pains. He has carried them. And we have esteemed him, we have esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So, you guys must not have the Young's Literal. Okay. He carried them, and we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5 in the Young's Literal. And he is pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is on him, and by his bruise there is healing for us. By his bruise there is healing for us. Matthew 8:17, Jesus said in Matthew 8:17, out of the King James, it says that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sickness. So thank God for this. So let's look at some things here in Isaiah chapter 53. It says surely. We hear you. No, surely. It's a done deal. Surely. He has borne. Surely he had our sicknesses he has borne. So surely, for real, for sure, it's a done deal. Our sicknesses he has taken. And our pains, he carried them. So if you have a sickness in your body, or it's trying to be on your body, or a pain in your body, surely he has already borne it. Surely he has already carried it. And so if he's already borne it and he's already carried it, then you and I don't have to anymore. I'm not saying that it doesn't try to come. I'm not saying that you won't have to fight. I'm not saying that, you know, that you'll never have to consider it again. Oh, you're always considering something, but whose report will you believe? All kinds of reports come. Doctor's report. My body's been giving me a report for 2 or 3 days. What is that? A report of symptoms. You say, what is it? Oh, you don't want to know. It's traveling stuff, and I don't know why I'm back up, because I'm strong now. I wasn't strong, but now I'm strong now. Hallelujah. I was leaning on purpose. Now I'm good. Hallelujah. Your body can give you a report. It can tell you, I'm not going to let you. You can't do that. This is what you're going to do. But you have to tell it the other report. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's interesting. You know, let's talk about healing. Let's talk about the body parts of God. The Bible says with a finger, he gets rid of demons. Right? I know everybody, aren't you glad the devil's under your feet? But the Bible says that with a finger. I always imagine wearing a suit and getting a piece of lint on it. And just like, have you ever done that before? You just flick stuff off? Pastor Rhonda does this way better than I can. She has fingernails and they're pretty and stuff. And so she does that finger thing. And, but that's how God gets rid of the demon. Then it talks about the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon Elijah and he ran. The hand of the Lord denotes the anointing of God coming on someone. Thank God for the finger of God. Thank God for the hand of God. But when it comes to healing, he said, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He's serious about this. And we need to get back to being really serious about it ourselves. And I'm grateful Annie came, and I'm grateful for my anointing, and I'm grateful for your anointing, and I'm grateful for all that stuff. But let's just keep believing what God said, and let's not only receive healing, let's walk in divine health, because the arm of the Lord, the arm of the Lord, the arm of the Lord, the arm of the Lord is revealed to those who believe this report. It's a good report. It's a good report. All kinds of reports out there. But he reveals his arm, his power. So surely our sicknesses he's borne and our pains he carried them. And it talks about how we esteemed him. And he was wounded, he was pierced. Where was he pierced? On the cross. What was he pierced for? Our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him. And in his bruise, by his stripes, we are healed. And you all are familiar with 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. But let's look at that again. 1 Peter 2, 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. Jesus laid over a whipping post and let them drag the cat of nine tails with that bone, the metal, the glass, and rip him open, and so that you and I could, he kept his mouth shut. Oh, I can't help but talk about it. It's on my heart. He kept his mouth shut so you could open yours. He kept his mouth shut so you can open yours. Because he kept his mouth shut and didn't answer back or call for angels. Now you can open yours and receive what he did by keeping his mouth shut. Hallelujah. It says this, and we'll get into this a little bit. Let's talk about this. So verse 7. What's verse 6? And we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Remember, you can look in John, you can look at the other Gospels. Pilate kept trying to get him to open his mouth. You say that, are you the king of the Jews? You say that I am. If you would just, he said to, if you would just talk to me, I could save you. He's trying to get him to talk. But at this time, he kept his mouth closed. And he kept it closed on purpose. The Bible says he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shears is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. This is so important that he opened not his mouth. He could have defended himself. He could have called for angels. He could have said the wrong thing out of his anguish, out of his pain. That's why the Garden of Gethsemane was so important, that he sweated as great drops of blood as he got it all settled, that he was willing to put his body through all of what he was about to put it through, so that you and I could be free. And if he's willing, and he was, to do that for you and to do that for me, then we ought to continuously get enough revelation and get the gumption to fight for what is ours. If he paid that big of price. Now that is not to say to someone, and I understand this, and you all know I understand this, and that if someone doesn't receive their healing on earth, that we would criticize, fault, and we've always been that way. You know what? Because the worst thing the devil can do to a born-again believer is send him to heaven. I remember I tell that all the time, but when Pastor Rhonda, because I didn't want to talk about heaven, because, you know, that was like defeat for me, you know, talking about people going to heaven. But Pastor Rhonda, when we got married, my good little AG girl who turned Word of Faith, was like, are you kidding me? It's heaven. That's the worst thing he can do. Yeah, but I don't want to talk about it. But it's the worst thing he can do. Just make me so mad. But it's the worst thing he can do. But you and I are going to fight. And we're going to walk in what he did. So here's Jesus, the Lamb of God. And he's led like a lamb to the slaughter. Literally a slaughter. And he's not going to open his mouth. And so let's look at John. We're in chapter 19. And so I want to look at this. John 19, 14. And I love the way God does things, the timing of things. Everything God does is on purpose. No accidents. Verse 14, and it was the preparation of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he said to the Jews, behold your king. It was the preparation of the Passover. Remember from the very beginning, John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. John the Baptist said, John chapter 1, verse 29, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. Behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Behold what kind of Lamb? Behold the Passover Lamb. Behold the Passover Lamb. Behold the Passover Lamb. Behold the Passover Lamb, 1 Peter 1:19. but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Not just any Passover lamb, a Passover lamb without blemish, without spot, who is perfect, who did no wrong. Behold the Passover lamb who takes away the sin of the world, who was prophesied that would be led like a lamb to the slaughter. This lamb offered himself over a whipping post so that we could be healed. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 just says it. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that may a new lump as your leaven. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So let's think about Exodus chapter 12. So Jesus is the Passover lamb. And he offered himself as a lamb. And part of what he did as a lamb was offered himself to be scourged so that with his stripes we could be healed. So we see all the stuff outwardly going on. We see all the horrible, horrendous things that Jesus had to endure so that we could be healed. So when I think of that, when I look at that, it makes me very appreciative of what he did physically for me. But if all it was physical, then I could not stand up here and boldly tell you that with his stripes you are healed. Because he didn't just do that physically. There was something happened spiritually. He became sickness and disease. He took it on. He became every sin, sickness, and disease. He took it on. He took it. He took it. As the Lamb of God who is perfect, the Word of God who is perfect. He became sin. He took sickness and disease and poverty. That's why the great exchange is so important. The fact that he redeemed us, that he purchased us, he became something so we could become something. I was just, when I was in Nepal, my subject was prosperity, but I really hit on this, what I'm about to say to you. He became sin so you could become righteous. Without him becoming something, you couldn't become something. You're not hiding under righteousness, you are righteous. You became something because he became something. And I was telling them in Nepal, which became such a revelation, there were so many different, there were new believers in there and pastors and really had not been taught well. But I was teaching them about Jesus became poor, that you could become rich. Just like he became sin so you could become righteous, he became poor. And that's why I fight for that one too. If he's going to become poor for me, then I'm going to become rich. I'm going to become rich. I'm going to walk in it. Get mad if you want to, but I'm going to be what he made me to be. Why would I let him do something and not try to walk in everything that he did for me? And he took my sickness. He carried my pain. He carried it. He took my sickness. He became, he took it so that I could be made whole. Not just healed, whole. And not when I get to heaven, right now. Listen, you don't need healing when you get to heaven. People say, well, I'm going to get healed when I get to heaven. No, you won't. You don't get healed when you get to heaven. You don't need it. You're not carrying this with you. You know, it's funny when, you know, people have caskets and they put all things in with them, you know, like rings and, I don't know, keepsakes. I don't know where they think that stuff's going. It's going in the ground. Might as well give it away. I don't know why that diamond you think is going to be with you in glory. I mean, or gold. I mean, you're going to walk on it. You're not going to think too much of it anymore. What's up with that? But you and I, Jesus became something so we could become something. The Passover lamb. So in Exodus 12, we see that deliverance comes by the Passover lamb. And just real quick, if you look at Exodus 12, then we're going to partake of, because the whole point of Jesus dying on a cross was he was the Passover lamb. And Exodus 12 is the type, and we live in the fulfillment. So anything they had in the type, we should be walking in the fulfillment. And so it talks about the path to every man taking a lamb according to the house of the fathers, a lamb for every house. And then it talks about having a lamb without blemish in verse 5. And it talked about verse 7, taking the blood, striking it on the post of the house. And then it talks about in verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Verse 11 says, and thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And so we got two parts here. We got the blood and the body, which is, of course, the type of the Lord's, the bread and the juice, the wine, two parts, both equally important. And this is how you eat it. This is how you partake. You partake ready to, in their case, ready to leave. It was impossible for them to leave. They're slaves. But the Passover lamb is bringing them the deliverance they need to leave. So you eat it on purpose. You eat it in haste. In other words, you eat it with purpose. You eat it with what? Shoes on your feet, staff in your hand, because you're getting ready to leave. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23, it says, for I have received of the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he took that bread, he gave thanks and he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup and supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So the same thing, the blood, the body, the bread, the blood, two elements, and what happened to them? What happened to them? So it says, and the blood, verse 13, and the blood shall be for a token in the house where you are, and when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not come upon you and destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this is what you're going to do. Do it for a memorial throughout all the generations. You shall keep a feast by ordinance forever. And so we know what happened. We know what happened. They came out. They came out. Psalms 105:37 says they came out with silver and gold, and there was none sick or feeble among them. And so I just wanted to remind you tonight, looking at John chapter 19, verse 1. He was beaten. He was beaten for our transgressions. He took the cat of nine tails. He took more than stripes. Beaten beyond human recognition so that you and I could be healed. Whether you've received your healing through the gifts, through the laying on of hands, through receiving by faith, it's a big deal to him. I teach this in this way. There are so many ways and points to release your faith. Call the elders of the church. Anoint them with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The believers shall lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. The gifts of healings, working a miracle, the gift of special faith, working with words of knowledge, the anointing. Isaiah 10:27 destroys the yoke of bondage. If you don't know it yet, sickness is a bondage. Sickness comes from the devil. Jesus said so. Talking about the woman who was bowed over. He said, Satan did it. Satan did it. It's awesome to know who is doing what. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief is the one who steals, kills, and destroys. But I've come that you might have life. I want to tell you this funny thing. Many of you maybe have never ever worked with a translator. But when I go preach in Nepal, of course, they speak Nepali. And some of them speak English, so I'm preaching in English. And so you have to pause. And Nepali is different. My favorite language to be interpreted is Spanish, because you can speak in phrases and you can really get to preaching. But in Nepali or Hindi, which is an Indian language, is the verb comes first and when they translate, so you got to finish your thought. And so I was working with my pastor, Raju. We've known each other for a while. And we were talking about the author of things. And so I was talking about the earthquake, just like the natural earthquake here. And I said, and God's going to cause an earthquake. And he looked at me, because he's supposed to be translating. He's like, just right in front of everybody, and God and me and Tony. And he said, God does not cause earthquakes. And I smiled and I was like, Pastor Roger, you trust me. Because I was getting ready to talk about the Axe earthquake, how, you know, there's a natural kind and a God kind, but he wasn't going to translate. And I said, you know what? Right in front of everybody, I just stopped. I'm like, my respect for you has just gone through the roof. Because most translators will translate, even if they know better, they'll translate, because especially we're Americans and we're supposed to know everything. They'll just translate garbage. But he just told me, I ain't translating that. I loved it. I loved it. You got to know what God is the author of and what the devil is the author of. Sickness is never a blessing. It's a curse. And Jesus redeemed you from it. He paid a high price for it. Not just to remove your sin, but he paid a high price so that you could have health. Well, Pastor Mark, then why isn't it easy? Well, it's easy in this respect. It's done. It's hard in this respect is because you feel it when you're dealing with symptoms. And so if you have nothing going on in your body right now, now is the time to get strong in your faith as it comes to your body. One of the hardest times to give faith is in the middle of a hurricane. It can be done, but it is not easy. Because you're dealing with so much and so many reports. And if you haven't trained yourself to think about his report and his report alone, their reports will move you. But my point to you is just remember this week, and as you partake, that he willingly, the Son of God, the I Am, willingly stretched out his back. Willingly. Willingly. Give you one more thought of encouragement. Don't let the little stuff go by. Don't let anything go by. Use your faith. You know the will of God. Faith comes by hearing. Faith is released by... He kept his mouth closed so you can open yours. Open it. I was reminded in the last couple days, when you don't feel well, you don't feel like talking. I don't want to talk to nobody. And I don't want to talk. I think I might have even been rude to my mother during that. I'm not sure.
But the point of pain and sickness is to make you give up. But when you know his report, you can hold fast. Amen. I know there's lots of stuff going on in the world, and we live in a blessed country where we have, most people have access to medical stuff, and there's a drugstore on every corner. But let's not get good at relying on temporal stuff. Let's stay sharp. Let's stay sharp. And just remember, as we celebrate the resurrection on Sunday, he paid a high price 3 days earlier. So let's believe God. That's for all of it. Staying free from sin. I'll throw it in again. If he became poor so I could become rich, I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to walk in it. It's more blessed to give than it is receive. It's fun. But you got to have something to give in order to do it. Start. Do it. Amen.